Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. What have you been up to, Tony?
I've been holding down the fort because you've been busy.
Holding down, it's only been 3 days.
It feels like a lifetime.
It does for me, too. So for everyone listening, I just got off recording the audiobook for The Family First Entrepreneur. And originally, it was scheduled for 4 days of 8 hours a day of recording. But we managed to finish it in three.
Did you just talk really fast, or how did you make that work?
I just learned what needed to be done, and I did it. The first day was a disaster.
Okay.
Because you would think that you get on and you narrate the book like how you talk.
But you don't.
But that's actually not the way it works. And I was actually planning on going off script a little bit, you know, adding a little bit of color to the book. And she was like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I thought that, you know, this is an audiobook. I could make it more fun by, you know. What?
Okay. So today's episode, we're going to talk about the whole process of recording an audiobook and the book in general. So my first thought is, have you listened to an audiobook before? Do you listen to audiobooks?
I haven't. I don't listen. I read.
Okay. Yeah. So that problem number one. I would say if this is something that you're thinking about doing, you should probably listen to some audiobooks. They follow the book exactly.
Yes. But here's
yes,
the thing.
Because wait, then hold it's on. Not before the same thing. Okay. I'm not making
before
fun of you.
Make
you
fun
I just...
Of me.
It's not really, I mean, it is making fun of you. Okay, go on.
I talked to Pat about this, Pat Flynn.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, I included some extra bonus materials. I made it fun and everything in my audiobook. And I was like, oh, okay, hey, that sounds fun, actually. I could turn this into something, you know, really fun rather than just reading something verbatim.
Right.
But I think the reason Pat could get away with that was because he self-published.
Yes, that is exactly why Pat could get away with that. He could do whatever he wanted.
Exactly.
So if let's just think about this, right?
You're going to make fun of me again. Okay,
I'm
fine.
Not. I just, what? I want you to put yourself, so there are a lot of people who listen to audiobooks. In fact, more people than I knew.
Oh, it's like, very popular.
It's very, very popular. And I can see why. People spend time in their cars. People spend time doing like mindless tasks and audiobooks. I know people listen to them at the gym. So it's definitely a way to pass the time. And if you don't have the ability to sit and hold a book open, like obviously when you're driving or something like that, it's a great way to get the information in a different format. It's also really good. So like going a little bit off topic, I had three kids who are dyslexic. And when they were younger, reading books was painful for them to the point where I had one that by the time he got to the end of the page, it took him so long to read that page that he didn't remember what was happening at the top of the page because the whole process of like decoding and sounding out was just a struggle. And so we turned to audiobooks, one, to help him study for things, to learn things. And, you know, it was basically replacing the book. Even though I still had him read the books, the audiobooks were for his comprehension. So he still had to read to learn how to read. But then the audiobooks were like, hey, I know you read all this. It probably doesn't make a lot of sense to you, but now you can listen to it and it's going to make way more sense. So and that for that reason, I can see why you can't go off script, because if someone is listening to this book for, let's just say, a course or especially educational purposes, if you're in there telling dad jokes, you know, you've now changed. It's not the same book anymore, right? It's a different, it's the Steve comedy show at the improv on Friday night.
Okay. Did you ask your son whether learning would be more fun if the reader went off script a little bit? You didn't ask him that, did you?
Well, so here's one thing that I noticed that sometimes they did do in these books, especially the books that were not like this is a book about snakes, right? If it was a book that was telling a story, they used voices and characters, but they stayed on script. They followed the words verbatim, but, you know, when they were going to be this character, they were like, hi, I'm Sally, you know, and that had like a voice. And then, you know, this guy had a different voice. My favorite one ever, if you guys have kids, another side note, Hank the Cow Dog, the audiobooks, they're actually narrated by the author, and he does every voice of every character, and it's a different voice. He's very good. Like, I was entertained by these books on road trips. So if you're taking a spring break trip or a summer trip, Hank the Cow Dog, very great entertainment for kids, probably like 5 to 10. Anyway, so yes, I can see why you can't go off script.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that in the beginning. So like for the first probably 10 minutes, she was like, do that sentence again, do that sentence again. And I wouldn't read it exactly. You know, sometimes if there was a contraction, like isn't, and I would do is not, she would correct me and I'd have to do that line again.
What a terrible job for her to have.
I know.
Like, well, literally following along every word that you say and making you fix it.
I thought this was going to be like a podcast, a long ass podcast.
This is the 27-hour podcast of my life.
Because people listen to podcasts, right?
Right.
It's the same as the audiobook. And when you're reading something verbatim, and okay, so the other thing I had problems with is sometimes when I talk fast, and this one I can kind of understand, I might like slur some words ever so slightly. But she, for an audiobook, the director wanted me to enunciate everything.
Yes, it's like being in a Broadway show.
Yes, enunciate everything. But you can't talk normal when you enunciate everything. Right?
Yes. Well, you can if you are trained vocally to do that, but absolutely, it's very
difficult. I'm not trained to. Yeah, I mean, that was the big struggle for me, too.
Yeah.
Because she was like, oh, yeah, just talk normal and in a conversational tone. And I would do that. And she's like, okay, well, slow
not
down.
Not that normal.
And enunciate, like, the consonants. Like, you know what I mean? Because I guess I don't do that for everything that I say.
Okay, so a couple thoughts. First of all, just to one more little circling back on the you want to add your own color commentary to the book that you wrote. So maybe you should have just put it in the book, first of all.
Well, no, it doesn't work in the book. But
But think about if you're... So the only book that I've ever... Not the only book. In the past 2 years, the only thing I've tried to listen to is Where the Crawdads Sing. I think that's the book. It's like a big New York Times a fiction book.
Yep. Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine listening to that book and like they're telling the story about the girl and the dad and it's like this terrible situation. And then the author would say like, well, here's what I really wanted to write here. Let me cut in.
That's different. That's fiction.
I know. But I'm just saying like it interrupts the flow of the book, I would say, for you to add your own color commentary.
No, I wasn't going to add commentary, but I don't know.
Well, yes, you were.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but... Here's the thing, like you know, when you go through multiple passes of editing of a book to make it really concise, you take out some stuff that you, like you were kind of forced to take out because you wanted to go a certain way, right? It's like getting like the outtakes is the wrong word. It's like getting the extended cut of watching a movie.
Okay, so let's brainstorm this because you're trying to think of ways to promote the book right now. Selling a book is very difficult in general, especially a traditionally published book. There's all sorts of like guidelines and rules and things that you need to do to move up in the rankings and things like that. There's the pre-sales. Audiobooks don't count towards the pre-sales, which is unfortunate. Do Kindle books count towards the pre-sale?
They actually don't.
Yeah. So you have to like have people buy a physical book, which I like don't buy any books. I bought your book, but like I don't buy any books anymore. I get everything on my Kindle.
Because you just wanted it signed. I mean, I was going to sign it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Can you just sign my Kindle? And then it'll always remind me. So there's a lot going on. So are you allowed to, because you do have a contract, are you allowed to create some sort of like bonus like narrative that you can give away to people who buy the book that you record on your own.
That doesn't use the words in the book verbatim and enunciated?
Yes, it is not like this, where you are enunciating.
Okay, of course I'm allowed to do that, but I can't use the book. Well, I have to get permission first.
Okay.
Like, I think I'm allowed to give out a chapter or two, mm-hmm. but, you know, I have to get approval from the publisher.
But could you do something like, because you've been trying to think of, so when people buy your book, currently you have some bonuses for them that they receive when they buy the book. Right. I think there's a 6-week challenge. They yep. get, depending on how many books they buy, they get access to like recordings. There's some additional training that they can have. Would you be able to maybe have like the unplugged sessions, right? Where you basically go through like your favorite passages in the book. So not a chapter, but, you know, maybe you pick out 10 of your favorite passages in the book and you elaborate on those stories, the stuff that, because you and I have talked about some stuff that got cut that you didn't want cut. And would you be able to maybe identify 7 to 10 of those passages and then record like these 30-minute bonus where you like read the paragraph
yeah,
or read the page?
Yeah, I absolutely could do that.
So that might be a bonus.
Yeah, I was thinking about that actually. I had actually inquired to the publisher of making like a video version mm-hmm. of the book. But then after reading it for like the last 3 days, I was like, there's no way I can do that.
There's a video version. What's like, is there going to be B-roll and
B-roll commentary, everything like
when the directors comment on the movie that they made,
you know, have just you ever add seen additional stories. Yeah, I have. I actually don't like watching those.
I think they're kind of annoying. They're too long, yeah. but, yeah.
But this
so
one
that
would
might
just
be a
add
bonus.
Some color. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So what was really funny was at the end of the reading, mm-hmm. there's credits that you have to read, right?
Okay.
And so like there's your name, there's like a little bio, mm-hmm. and then there's also you have to thank the person, you know, who was the director of the audiobook.
Okay.
Like the person who was correcting me and enunciating.
And you didn't remember her name.
And you have to, no, it's all written down.
Okay.
And you have to thank the engineer also. So
okay.
I was like, thank you. And then I slurred her name on purpose. I was like, glug, glug, glug. And then thank you for the audio engineer. And I went, magic. And they were like, cut.
You're anyway. Never getting another book deal. Just FYI.
I know. Well, it was this running joke at the end. I was like, okay, you want me to enunciate everything? So when it got to the credits, I purposely slurred both their names and coughed.
Oh, you're such a good client. So what... Did you take away anything from this?
Yes. I guess one of my key takeaways was I don't speak as clearly as I think I do.
Okay. When someone's monitoring every word that comes out of your mouth, you don't speak clearly.
Yes. And it was a good test of patience, right? Because when you talk, I talk much faster than I'm reading the audiobook.
Right.
So imagine like, and you can talk much slower than you can read.
Yes.
Right? So imagine talking at like half your normal speed.
Okay.
And having to do that for an entire day times 3.
Interesting.
It could have been 4.
Okay.
So
I'm trying to look for something. Okay. So just let's do I want an example of this. I'm just pulling. This is my my activation code for my propane tank. So if you're reading, I'm just going to read this out loud. Tell me how they would cut in if you made a mistake. I want to know how this whole process works. So I'm just going to start reading this little brochure from my propane tank. We just installed a new monitor on your tank. Now you can view the level of your tank anytime, anywhere. Track tank levels in real time, customize level alerts, consult usage history, contact us at the press of the button. Get your tank monitoring app today.
That was pretty good, actually.
Oh.
You're better at this than I am, I think.
I'm a rapid reader. It's because I read aloud to 7 kids, honestly.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And you read it verbatim to your kids too, even?
If I did not like the book, no. You know those books that your kids would bring you and it was like 800 pages of like Disney princess stories and you're like, no, I'm not reading this verbatim. So I would make up. But like some of my kids knew. They're like, that's not the story. And I was like, oh.
Actually, yeah. you're pretty good at this. And the woman who was helping me, her name is Julia, she had actually a very nice, pleasant voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she was nice about the whole thing. I guess she has to deal with a lot of different personalities.
Yeah,
she was
sure.
telling me that she gets people who are like economists, researchers, mm-hmm. that don't normally talk. You know, they just do research. And so sometimes they're hearing their voice for the first time and going, oh, I don't like the way I sound.
Right.
You know, and she has to deal with all those kinds of people.
Were you allowed to, I mean, I'm assuming she wanted you to speak with inflection and.
I tried to, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't Slowly. About just monotone. There was, she wanted you to speak, so you couldn't add your own color, but you needed to add some personality, I would say.
You can do whatever you want as long as you stay verbatim to the script and enunciate everything.
You should have asked her if you could use different voices. Could I start off in a French accent and
I did use different voices because there's parts in the book where I'm like quoting my wife.
So you're like, Steve!
No, that's...
Jen does not talk like that at all. I was going to say, I wouldn't want to quote Jen because like she has a very pretty voice. So, but I would hate to like get it in a way that she would be offended. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I certainly wouldn't use that tone.
Well, no, I know. I'm
that
joking.
Was like a nagging tone.
Yes. That's why I'm saying you didn't use that tone, correct?
Yeah. Well, for my kids, I could use whatever voice I wanted to.
Yeah. So. Interesting. And it took you 3 days.
3 days.
To record, what is it, like a 250-page book?
It's about 229 pages.
Okay. It's about 229 pages.
Approximately.
Plus a paragraph. And
I had to redo the one section again because that was that first day when I was like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yes.
And I was talking really fast.
Yeah.
And everything. So I don't know. Here's the thing. Like if I were to listen to an audiobook, which I don't do, by the way.
Right.
I would want it to be like a podcast.
That's because you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it's interesting. I have listened to a few audiobooks, but what I have found is that, and I don't know if there's some comedic license here, but so Tina Fey wrote a book. I want to say it's like Bossy Pants or something. And it's basically a memoir. And everyone told me that you needed to get the audiobook, don't read the book, because she narrates the book. And I ended up, and now I can't remember because I don't know if I actually ever read the book, but I listened to it. I wonder if she ad-libbed and was allowed to because of the topic.
She's Tina
right?
Fey.
Because she's Tina Fey. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like you can let, well, that's the other thing. It's like they can't, so, I mean, you can be funny. So maybe if you put a joke in there, it, why are you making a face?
I wasn't like, okay, it's not like I was like yucking it up in that first day, right?
How's everybody doing tonight? No, what I'm saying is I can see why for a variety of reasons they don't let you do that because what if you have the economist making like calculator jokes, right? And then they're just falling flat. So
it's not jokes. It's just making some sentences perhaps somewhat different, not intentionally.
Right.
But, you know, just saying it like how you talk.
But I will say audiobooks, like I've heard, I haven't, Matthew McConaughey has a book out. Was it called Greenlight, Nightlight, something? And he narrates the book. And I would listen to Matthew McConaughey, right? Because he has that voice, that deep
He's got
draw.
A nice voice. Yeah.
He does. So even if he read that book verbatim, I can see why listening to a book that he narrates would be very entertaining. Same with Tina Fey. Like, she was funny. Jenny McCarthy has a book. She's very funny, right? So I can see maybe some people getting leeway, but I also understand, like, your book is sort of a business-type book. You can't really, like, allow leeway on that because, in a sense, you are teaching people something. And so if somehow what you record and what you've written comes across in two different ways because there's been changes, then you run into a problem.
I hope people don't say, oh, get the hardcover. Don't get the audiobook.
Listen, don't waste your time with the audio. Like, if you want to fall asleep behind the wheel, definitely get the audiobook.
See, maybe that leaves room for a new genre of audiobook.
Okay.
One where the author can narrate it. I mean, you know what's funny is every time you read the book or any book that you've written, you want to make changes to it, right?
Right.
This was no different. When I was reading it verbatim, like not changes, but like, you know, you notice little things like, hey, maybe that sentence could be, you know, written in a different way.
You were noticing that even yesterday.
Yeah, of course.
After rewriting the book 22 times.
Yes.
Interesting.
Every time you look at it, you want to change something. That's just the nature of it. And in fact, that's why you have to have a deadline. Otherwise, you'll just be changing it forever.
Right. I mean, that does make sense. So what's the appeal or what's the reason for doing the audio version? Is it just the standard these days? You have to have the audiobook?
No, it's not the standard. I mean, I'm a podcaster, right? So it makes sense to read it. I mean, I guess they could find another middle-aged Asian dude to narrate it too.
From the East Coast with a slight accent?
Yes. But it probably wouldn't be the same because there's a bunch of Steve-isms in there that, you know, it's just something I would say. And people who listen to me know that I would say that. It would just
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I think it would just be weird listening to someone enunciate those same words.
Else read your Steve-isms. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think... So this is actually... You bring up a good point. You are a podcaster. You do have a very large following on the My Wife Quit Her Job podcast. Are you concerned at all that people will buy the audiobook because they like listening to your voice? It feels familiar. It's comfortable. And that's going to cannibalize your hardback book sales, which is sort of the goal with the book publishing.
That's not my attitude. I mean, if people buy anything, I'm very appreciative, right? Because that means they're supporting me.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, for my ego and to try to hit this bestseller list, I'm trying to encourage people to buy the hardcover.
Right.
By incentivizing them towards that way, by giving out these bonuses and that sort of thing. But yeah, if you buy anything, ebook, whatever, you know, I'm very appreciative.
And then do you make a different amount of money? Because audiobooks usually cost less than a hardcover book is like $25-$30. Kindle books are usually, you know, between 15 and 20. And then the audiobook seems to kind of hover in the Kindle price range. So how does that affect, like, in general for people, like the money that they would make off of a book?
You know what's funny about this whole thing?
You have no idea.
Is that wasn't my intention to make money from any of this. And this is why you've been making fun of me. Like, you're doing all this work and you're not making any money off of this. I didn't know anything about book contracts. Mm-hmm. And so I relied on, you know, my buddy Jeff to tell me, hey, yeah, this is kind of like a standard contract. Mm-hmm. I didn't even read how much money I'm going to be getting off of each. Or I did, but I didn't okay, yeah, that's like nothing is what I remember. So I'm like, this is just not even on my radar screen. Unless I sell like, you know, hundreds of thousands of books.
A million
books.
Or
whatever, yeah.
Okay, you might not know the answer to this because now I'm even more curious. So when you write a book with a traditional publisher, typically you get an advance.
Right.
Which you did get an advance for your book. People can get an advance from, you know, $5,000 to $100,000 or more. I mean, like, I'm sure Prince Harry probably got $1 million advance, you know, like, just depending on how many books they think you're capable of selling. That's pretty much what they base the advance on, right?
So that's correct, yes.
I know that the hardcover is what counts towards, like, the bestseller list and things like that. But let's just say you got a $10,000 advance and in order, you know, and the expectation is you sell 5,000 books. Now, these numbers are not right. I'm just trying to do like easy math. So you get a $10,000 advance. You have to sell 5,000 books. In that 5,000, every type of book counts, right, towards the advance goal, right? Like ebook, hardcover, paperback. Yours isn't coming out in paperback. Audio. Is that all towards the goal of the advance money?
You get the money no matter what.
Well, no, but like after you hit that, let's just say you get an advance for 10,000, you have to sell 5,000 books. When you sell 6,000 books, you start making money off the book sales, right?
You know what's funny is I just had a book guy on the show. I haven't published the episode yet about the economics of books, which was fascinating.
Yeah.
I actually didn't ask him that question. I have to, you know what? Maybe we'll, I have to look at my contract, and then I'll answer all these questions. But basically, you don't make very much of the book sales price. I think you make more money off the audiobook. Mm-hmm. And I think even the ebook you make a little more. I think you make the least off the hardcover.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, it's not even on my radar screen because, like I said, unless you're going to sell like hundreds of thousands of copies, mm-hmm. it's probably not going to move the needle in my head, at least.
Well, see, like,
money-wise.
I would think for you, you might have, and maybe this is just a hypothesis. Someone who has a popular podcast probably will sell significantly more audiobooks than someone who doesn't. Because that is how people relate to you.
That's a good question. Maybe that's the case. I mean, I've already sold a bunch of audiobooks, but I can tell you the ratio so far. But I've been influencing people to buy the hardcover.
Right.
So I would say 75% are hardcovers. Is that true? 66, two-thirds are hardcovers. The others are a mix of Kindle and audiobooks.
Yeah.
And I think that's the correct ratio. I'm trying to remember the exact numbers. Something like 15% of books, I think, are ebooks sold today. Okay. That number rose dramatically over COVID.
Right.
But has since leveled off. I think people like reading paper books.
I do not.
You'd rather be on your Kindle, right? Because of convenience, probably.
Well, think of, like, so I'm, you know, we have an event next week and I have to fly across the country to get there. You know, I can probably read 4 books on the 2 flights. Do I want to take 4 books in my backpack or do I want to take the Kindle that weighs 10 ounces? I want to take the Kindle, right? And then I have my whole Kindle, you know, I check a lot of books out from the library on the Kindle and do Kindle Unlimited, but I would much rather do that because I've traveled with books and it's just a pain. Like, your backpack's heavy, you already have your computer in there. So I would much prefer to have a Kindle. And also at night, like, then you don't have to have a light on. You can increase the font on a Kindle. You also, like, I like to go to the beach and read. So there, you know, I'm not worried about the books and the Kindle's just, it's just so much easier.
I think it's because you buy books to read them.
Yes.
And that's the sole purpose. Well, no, that's the sole purpose, right?
Yeah.
For me, I like reading the book in hand and mm-hmm. then I like putting it on my shelf too. All the books I've ever purchased on Kindle, I read once and then I just kind of forget about them forever.
Yeah. I mean, all the books I have on my shelf, I've read once and don't ever read again.
Well, see, when I look back on my shelf sometimes, I'll pull out a book and read it again. Right? But on Kindle, seriously, I never, like, they disappear into the ether. Like, I forget I even bought them.
The best thing ever would be to right now have your whole bookshelf just be your books. When I look back on all the books on my shelf...
Hey, it could be like that.
It's like what about Bob when he's like, I think I have a book I can recommend you, and he goes to his bookshelf and it's all his book. And he's like, this one. Just check back, guys, in 6 months and watch the video recording and you will see that Steve only has his books on the bookcase from now on.
Jen was joking with me. She's like, oh, yeah. So are we going to have like boxes and boxes of books all over the place? I'm like, no, because that's going to be expensive.
In Tony's garage.
I don't plan on buying a lot of books of my own books because what am I going to do?
Have you bought your own book yet?
I actually have not yet.
Well, that's the problem. You're keeping yourself off the bestseller list.
It's not out yet. It's not out yet.
Everyone else has to pre-buy it. Don't you want the bonuses?
Well, I'm going to sign my own book, so...
The bigger question is, will your mother buy your book?
She did.
Good.
She bought 10 copies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
She going to give
it to her friends? Don't know if I'm going to read this, but I bought... No, I'm just kidding. She's going to read this one. This might be the first thing that she's read of mine, actually.
Really?
Probably, yeah. She doesn't read the blog. I mean, why would she read the blog?
It's not relevant for her. She's busy curing diseases. She doesn't need to read about how to get your shipping rates down.
And maybe this is unfair of me to say this, but I think she's going to read it because it's a traditionally published book mm-hmm. by a reputable publisher. So maybe in her mind, it's like a real publication, as opposed to like a blog, which is, you know, I think, and maybe I don't want to stereotype the older generation, but I think a lot of people think of blogs as like your personal journal, right? Mm-hmm. When you hear the word blog, mm-hmm. versus a published book, the book has more weight, right?
Yeah, so what's interesting about that is that I think also with, and I'm guilty of this as well. Like sometimes I'll read a blog and I'm like, but do you know what you're talking about? You know, like what's your credibility? What's your authority? And I know Google is tried to like obviously rank sites with, you know, credibility, authority, mentions other places, things like that. But it feels like when you get a book, there's some level of credibility and authority when it's published by Penguin or HarperCollins or, you know, whoever. But like, did anyone fact check your book? No one contacted me to see if your things were correct.
They don't fact check.
Yeah.
But they do make the people who you mention in your book to sign like, yes, a waiver. I mean, I didn't send you your part.
No, you didn't send me the part. Well, that's my naivete.
You signed it away.
I did. I was like, sure, whatever. The lies.
Most people just signed it.
Yeah.
But there were a couple people that were like, hey, I want to read what you, you know, what you wrote. There's one person that both you and I know.
If you pre-buy the book, will you tell us who asked to read it? Will that be part of the bonuses?
Well, I was just going to tell you a story. One of our mutual friends, who I only included a very small paragraph about. And it was an interesting story, but this person made a big deal in correcting a lot of that small paragraph. Nothing was bad about it. You know, I would never write anything bad about, you know, the people that I'm mentioning in the book. But we ended up going through a couple revisions.
Of the one paragraph.
Of that one paragraph. And then this person said, hey, why don't you send me another, it was like the third revision. I'm like, you know what? Like, I said it nicely.
You're, I was like, just let me know. What you
just
said.
I was like, just let me know if you want to include it or not. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then we settled on it.
That is your way of saying I have wasted too much time on this, and I'm going to move.
I mean, it was literally one paragraph.
You're like, it wasn't even that good of a story. I shouldn't have included it.
Well, no, I said, hey, I want to feature some of my friends in the book.
Yeah, yeah. So this makes me curious because it's making me think of all the books that I've read, and I've read a lot of books by bloggers or people who started out as bloggers because they tend to get book deals because they have an audience. They're very attractive to publishers, things like that. So you talk about like including people about in stories and they had to sign a waiver. I have read at least 4 or 5 books where the majority of the book is stories about other people. I'm sure you've read some of these books too.
I have, yes.
And so like a couple things, like one, I'm obviously there's permission and things like that. But then two, like in the audiobook, I guess if there's an audiobook version, I guess the author is just reading everybody's part. Right. Because some of these parts, like I don't want to call it the book. It's actually on the bestseller. It's on the bestseller list right now. But I picked up a book by a blogger a couple weeks ago and the entire book other people wrote. Like, it's not even just stories about other people. Like, it's pages and pages of writing from other people. Like, and I've had that before where I've had people email me and say, hey, I'm writing a book. Would you mind writing, like, you know, something about something that I have experience with XYZ? Normally, I don't do it just because I don't have a lot of extra time. But this entire book was that. I mean, I would say at least 60. I couldn't finish the book because I was like, I didn't buy this book to read other people's stuff. Honestly, I was curious about what this person had to say. So to me, like I guess the advantage is you do less work. Like how does that factor into all of the equation?
So that's a good strategy to launch a book because then everyone who's in it will probably help promote it.
Correct.
But what I've been told that in the long run, it's actually the book quality that matters.
Right.
Like you can have a great launch, but then once that's over, if the book's not good, it'll just fizzle.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do a launch and the book is good, it'll stand the test of time. So any publisher who signs you actually wants the latter and not the former. Like, they don't really care about the launch. They care that it's a good book that will sell consistently through the years.
Yeah.
And so I don't, based on what you're telling me, I mean, that doesn't sound like a book that's gonna, well, I don't know, I've never read it, but
yeah,
it sounds like it was constructed for a launch.
Right. Yeah. Not my favorite type of book, but so now that you've kind of, you're basically at the end of the book process at this point, like,
oh, well, no, I got to sell these things.
Well,
we're not at the end. We're at the beginning.
No, we're well, you wrote it already.
Yes, that part is done.
You've now recorded it. You've made all the edits. Like, there's nothing else that you can do on the creation of the book.
Yes, that is correct.
Looking back on all of this, are you still happy with going the traditionally published route?
Well, I've never actually self-published anything.
True.
So am I happy with it? I have nothing to compare it to. But I'm happy that I did it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and the fact that it took forever actually ironically makes it a little bit more rewarding. Right? Like, if I pumped this thing out in like a couple of months, I probably wouldn't feel the way I do about it. But the fact that it took like 3 years makes it feel like this long pilgrimage that I've been on this boat for forever. And then finally I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't know if you saw my Instagram post yesterday, but I finished reading the last line of the book yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got off and I'm like, this is a damn good book.
Like, you're like, I'm going to pat myself on the back.
No, because I was reading it. I was like, hey, this really sounds good. This flows. Like, this is what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. I like these stories. I like the message. I'm like, yeah. It actually sounds better, ironically, with me reading it out loud than me reading it, like, for the 25th time. Because I've read that thing.
Yo, I know.
And I think the problem is when you read it, like, I just, towards the end, you just start, like, literally scanning it, right?
Yeah.
Because your eyes are all glazed over from reading it so many times. And at that point, you're not even objective at all anymore.
Right.
But when you have to read something verbatim and enunciate every word of it.
Yes.
Like, you really get a different experience
consuming
the content.
I guess for me, and I've never done a traditionally published book. I have done self-published books. I mean, it just depends, right? Like, we've talked about this a lot, but there's definitely benefits to traditionally publishing. There's definitely benefits to self-publishing. To me, like you said, oh, it's 3 years. That's so satisfying. Like, to me, it's like, oh, if I spent 3 months on a book and put it on Amazon and made $10,000 a month, I'd feel very satisfied, right? So to me, it's just, I guess it's a matter of like, what's the goal? What's the end goal? What are you trying to accomplish with this? Because I feel like a lot of people out there, especially people that we talk to and we do coaching calls with and things like this, they have a book in them. They have something in them. They have something very valuable to share with people. But they might not have the opportunity or the audience right away to get a traditional book deal. Or they might. Maybe their idea is so amazing that the, you know, publisher's going to be like, yes, this is the next big, you know, 4-hour work week or whatever. But I do think that, you know, it's something that people should think about regardless of like what they're doing right now in their life. If they don't have, you know, if they're not working on their own business yet, or if they have a business that they've been building for a long time, like, I think it's something to consider both routes, because there's a lot of benefits that can come either direction you go.
I would say that if you want to make money, I think self-publishing is the way to go. Mm-hmm. If you want respect from your mom, then traditionally published is the way to go. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.